Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bri Prajakacharya Stotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bri Prajakacharya Stotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hriyadevo. All glories to the assembled devotees.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Texts 6 through 8. Because verse 8 has a purport, we will speak on verse 8. And we'll just read the Sanskrit for texts 6 and 7. I'll read one line and you can repeat it, and then we'll go to text 8. Atra boktavyam asambir. Divarudham chucharita dita. Vatsa samipe papitva. Charantu shanakaistrinam. Lord Krishna says, I think we should take our lunch here, since we are already hungry, because the time is very late. Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. Text 7. Tate ti prayitvarba. Vatsan arudya sadvale. Muktva shikyani bubuju. Samam bhagavata muda. Accepting Lord Krishna's proposal, the cowherd boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where the grass was, where there was green, tender grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. Text 8. Krishnasya Vishvak. Pururaji Mandalai. Abhyanana. Fula Drisha. Raja Arbaka. Saha. Upavishta. Vipine. Vireju. Chada. Yata Amboruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishva Pururaji Mandalayar Abhyanana Fula Drisho Rajar Bhaka Saho Pavishta Vipine Virejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishvak Pururaji Mandalayar Abhyanana Fula Drisho Vrajar Bhaka Saho Pavishta Vipine Virejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishvak Pururaji Mandalayar Abhyanana Fula Drisho Vrajar Bhaka Saho Pavishta Vipine Virejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishva Guruji Mandalaya Abhyanana Kula Drisho Vajar Bhaka Saho Pavishta Vipine Vireshu Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Nasya Vishwa Guru Raji Mandalai Vyanana Kula Drisha Vajardana Avishta Vipine Virejush Tadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishva Pururaji Mandalaya Avyanana Pura Drisho Vrajar Bhaka Saho Pavishta Vipine Virejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Vaishnavis Krishnasya Vishva Guru Raji Mandalaya Adhyanana Kula Drisho Vajar Bhakai Saho Pavishta Vipine Virejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya Krishnasya Vishva Pururaji Mandalaya Kula Drisho Vrajar Bhakai
pavista vipine virejus. Chadayatam boruha karnikaya. Krishnasya Vishvakuru Raji Mandalaya Adhyanana Kula Drusho Vajarbhaka Sahopa Vista Vipine Virejus Chagayatam Boru Akarnikaya Krishnasya Vishvak.
Surrounding Krishna.
Pururajimandalai.
By different encirclements of associates.
Abhyanana.
Everyone looking forward to the center.
Where Krishna was sitting.
Puladrisha.
Their faces looking very bright.
Because of transcendental pleasure.
Raja Arbaka.
All the cowherd boys of Rajabhumi.
Saha Upavishta.
Sitting with Krishna.
Vipine.
In the forest.
Vireju.
So nicely and beautifully made.
Chada.
Petals and leaves.
Yata,
just as,
Amboruha,
of a lotus flower,
Karnikaya,
of the world. Translation. Like the whorl of a lotus flower surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. Please repeat. Like the whorl of a lotus flower.
Like the whorl of a lotus flower.
Surrounded by its petals and leaves.
Surrounded by its petals and leaves.
Krishna sat in the center. Encircled by lines of his friends. Who all looked very beautiful.
Every one of them was trying to look
forward toward Krishna.
Thinking that Krishna might look toward him.
In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. And as indicated by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, sarvata panipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham. If by accumulating pious activities, Krita Punya Punja, one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service. Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful in transcendental bliss. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. Hare Krishna. I am going to have to take your leave for about 2 minutes, so you can face forward, looking at Krishna and seeing if he will look toward you. I'm sure he will. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So read the translation again. Like the whorl of a lotus flower, surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. So this is a very beautiful, blissful verse. Very appropriate for New Ramanriti, because this is just the type of place where Krishna and Balaram and their friends would sit and walk and enjoy together. Srila Prabhupada said that if, for example, a student is in high school but is doing college level work, the student can be promoted to college. So in the same way, if we are in the material world but engage in the activities of the spiritual world, we can be promoted to the spiritual world. And the program that Srila Prabhupada gave us is the same as the program in the spiritual world, which is basically keeping Krishna in the center and doing everything with Krishna at the center for his pleasure. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that the temple is the same as the spiritual world. As long as Krishna is the center and all the devotees are engaged in serving Krishna and in the effort to please him, then it is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means the place of no anxiety. The other night we discussed anxiety, how devotees, even on the level of Srila Prabhupada and the gopis, feel anxiety for Krishna, but not, for the body or mind or extensions of our bodies and minds, like ordinary people. And therefore, the quality of the anxiety is different. Material anxiety can be debilitating, but spiritual anxiety can be an impetus to further service, which means giving Krishna pleasure and concomitant factor, the devotee also feels pleasure. But at a very young age, or, well, relatively young age, Srila Prabhupada made me responsible for the Juhu project. And situation at Juhu was very complicated, just in the ordinary sense, being Americans in India with no experience in India. And then the, you know, the heat and the humidity and the mosquitoes and the rats. Now, you might have an image. Well, I don't know what kind of rats you have here, but the Bombay rats are huge. They're literally this big. I mean, they're not like the little things that scurry here and there. They're like really big. And the rats and the, you know, the water we got through the taps and the dysentery and the jaundice and the malaria. But so that was just the normal part. What was extraordinary was the demons who conspired against Srila Prabhupada and the devotees to really try to steal Hare Krishna land from him. So it's a long story, but after Srila Prabhupada left Juhu, you know, after entering into the agreement to purchase the land, I had a very difficult time. I mean, very difficult time. And I was just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come, because I felt that when he came, he would set everything in order and I would feel happy again, instead of being in deep anxiety. And he came, and you know, he was dealing with things, but I was still in anxiety, and I could not understand why. It wasn't what I had anticipated. And I asked him about Krishna Goswami, and he gave a very wise answer. I said, I'm doing what Srila Prabhupada wants me to do. I know I'm doing what he wants me to do because he told me to do it. And he knows I'm doing it, and he's encouraging me to continue doing it. But I feel so much anxiety, and I thought that when he came, things would change, but I still feel anxiety. And Tamal Krishna Goswami gave the answer that it's like you're in a house that's on fire. And the only way to get out of the house, to get out of the fire, is to break the window with your hand. And when you break the window with your hand is going to get cut, and it's going to hurt. But you have to do it to save the body, to save yourself. So we're all part and parcel of Krishna, and you know, for us, Srila Prabhupada is Krishna's representative. And So, you know, Krishna's the whole. But it may happen that for the sake of the whole, the part, like the hand, may, in a superficial sense, be hurt or, you know, experience some sort of pain. But that is all taken as an austerity for the sake of Krishna. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada speaks of the preachers, that they take risks, and he said they may even die in the course of their service, but all of these are taken as great austerities for Krishna. But otherwise, the temple is Vaikuntha, the spiritual world where there's no anxiety, just like the cowherd boys and other residents of Vrindavan had no anxiety because they knew that Krishna was there. Whatever happened, Krishna would protect them. When Agasura came in the form of a great snake and opened his mouth, he was like so huge, the top of his mouth was like touching the clouds, like huge. And he stuck out his tongue, which was like a highway. And the cowherd boys were in their mood of enjoying pastimes with Krishna, so they were prancing and frolicking, and so they went on that highway into that cave. But as they were entering, they started to have a doubt. Is this really just a big cave? Or is it a demon who's come to kill us? And then they thought, well, it doesn't matter, because even if it's a demon, Krishna's here and he will save us. So they had no anxiety. So keeping Krishna at the center is easier when we live in a community of devotees, in a temple atmosphere. It is such a tremendous boon to have that facility, to always have the association of devotees available, to always have the temple programs available and the deities available. It is such a facility. So when we come together in the temple, then naturally Krishna is the center. But sometimes we have to struggle to keep Krishna in the center. And that is because we are conditioned to wanting to be the center ourselves. And the whole process of bhakti yoga, the whole gradual development of Krishna consciousness, is a shifting of our focus from ourselves to Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Srimad Durya Kadambini explains this, that conditioned souls are absorbed in that thought of I and mine, aham mam iti. and they think, I am this body. And everything related to the body is mine. You know, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my house, my car, my job, my insurance, my mortgage, my bills. And because we think it's mine, we're in anxiety. So as we progress through the different stages, ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, tata, bhajana, kriya, then gradually that sense of I and mine shifts. Instead of, you know, I am this body and everything related to this body is mine, it becomes I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. And when we have no other possession or sense of possessiveness other than in relation to Krishna, then we have come to the perfect stage of prema bhakti. So it is a gradual process, and it takes effort. It takes practice. Bhakti sanjataya bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. There's a line in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti comes from bhakti. That means that prema bhakti comes from sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti means devotional service in practice. So we have to practice making Krishna the center and getting out of the consciousness that we are the center. Our god brother Burijan Prabhu once commented that most people, even devotees, conceive of life as a movie, and the devotee, the man or woman, is the hero or heroine of the movie. And they see everyone else as the supporting cast, the supporting actors and actresses that are meant to, facilitate my heroic role. And this consciousness does lead to conflict because I'm trying to play out my movie in which I'm the hero and you're supposed to be supporting me. You're supposed to play your role so that my role as the hero is supported. But you're thinking you're the hero and I'm supposed to play a supporting role to make you glorious and you happy. So we come into we're dissatisfied with you. You're not playing your role properly. Don't you know I'm the hero? But the reality is that Krishna and Radharani, they are the hero and heroine. And when we all understand that they are the hero and heroine, and we are meant to play supporting roles for their pleasure, then we have no anxiety, and our relationships with each other become harmonious. In this beautiful description, we find that Krishna is like the whirl of the lotus flower, and his friends are like the leaves and petals that surround the lotus flower.
It's mentioned that he was encircled by lines of friends. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of dropping a pebble in a body of water. When you drop a pebble in a pond, the waves will expand like concentric circles. He actually gave this example at one of the first programs of his that I ever attended in Boston, at the International Students Association in Cambridge. So, as long as we identify with the body and make each of ourselves the center, then though, so our circle of concern or love will expand from that central point. He gave the example that a baby, if there's some food available for a baby, the baby will just eat it, won't think of anyone else. But when the child becomes a little more mature, he or she will think, I'll share this with my mother, I'll share this with my father. And as their circle of love expands, I'll share this with my brothers and sisters and my friends. And then as they become more mature, they can think of their community, their society, and that ultimately think of their nation. And if their consciousness is even more expanded, think of all of humanity. But Srila Prabhupada said, even that is not perfect, because they're thinking of the human beings, but what about the animals? What about the plants? They're also living entities. So he said, as long as we have different centers, even though our love is expanding, but there's conflict. You know, my family interest conflicts with your family interest. You know, my community's interest conflicts with your community's interest. My nation's interest conflicts with your nation's interest. So there's all these different centers and the waves are expanding, but they're overlapping and conflicting with each other. But if there's one center, Krishna, then no matter how many pebbles you drop in that one central point, all the waves will expand harmoniously. There'll be no overlapping and conflicting. They'll just expand and expand and expand harmoniously. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is keeping Krishna in the center. And all of our other relationships will become harmonious. Now, it is also mentioned here, looking toward Krishna or seeing Krishna. And that is also a question. How do we see Krishna? Well, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse from Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Bilochanena, Sansar Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, Yam Sham Sundaram Achintiguna Swarupa, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. When our eyes are smeared with the ointment of love of God
we can always see Krishna within our hearts. But what does it mean for us who are practicing to become devotees? Srila Prabhupada has given different answers. But the basic idea is, Achintya Veda Ve Tattva, that Krishna is simultaneously one with and different from his energies. So when a devotee sees Krishna's energy, he sees Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when you go to an art museum, you know, people will be looking at the paintings and saying, there's a Picasso. They're seeing the painting, but they're not just seeing the painting, they're seeing the artist who made the painting. Oh, there's a Picasso. There's a Rembrandt. Or he gave the example of parents. If their child is out of the home, and that they see the child's whatever toys or boots or cap, they don't just see toys or boots or a cap, but they think of their child. This belongs to my child. So they don't just see the object, but they see their child. They remember their child. So understanding that everything is Krishna's energy, either Krishna directly or Krishna's energy, we can always remember Krishna. And that also is a matter of practice. And, therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the taste of water, so that we think of Krishna. One friend in Bombay mentioned how wherever he goes, and he would travel a lot on business, that wherever he goes, he finds the water tastes a little different. They think so. This is Krishna is the taste of the water, rasoham apsukonteya. But the taste is different. It's like unlimited tastes. It's like Krishna is unlimited. Unlimited tastes of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that it can be translate the taste of water or the taste of liquid things. So any liquid thing. He said, even if a drunkard is drinking alcohol, some alcoholic beverage, and he thinks that the taste is Krishna, he'll become purified. He'll eventually become a devotee just by thinking. So yes, thinking of Krishna. And of course, we have direct manifestations of Krishna, his deity form, the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy Dham. They're all Krishna, directly. But even then, we appreciate them according to our ability to appreciate them. We see, oh,
I mean, the devotees here are so blessed by these beautiful deities and the high standard of worship. And they're always talking about the deities, like how beautiful the deities are. Wherever I go, wherever I visit devotees, they're always talking about the deities, how beautiful the deities are, and how nice the worship is. So that's the spiritual world. That's it. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev discusses devotees who come to the temple and see his charming form as the deity. And he says that they become imperceptibly liberated because they come, they look at the deity's charming form, they're absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and they're imperceptibly liberated. It means they're liberated. Being Krishna conscious means you're liberated, and they don't even notice it. They don't have to make a separate endeavor. And also hearing his captivating words. And that means in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada comments, therefore, it is the temple in the practice in all the main temples, like all the temples in Vrindavan, that along with the deity worship is the regular recitation and discussion of scripture. So it's like the form of Krishna and the words of Krishna. And in that way one becomes imperceptibly liberated. And then there is, of course, a very advanced stage in which one does see Krishna. There are several instances mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will mention one here. When Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he saw the Chatak Parvat, which reminded him of Govardhan Hill. I mean, we have sandy soil that reminds us of Ramanreti. So he saw the Chatak Parvat, which Srila Prabhupada describes as a large sand dune, and it reminded him of Govardhan Hill. But more than that, he took it that it was a Govardhan Hill, and he started to run very swiftly, like the wind, to Govardhan Hill. And at a certain point, he became stunned. He could not move any further, and he exhibited various extreme ecstatic symptoms that an ordinary body cannot accommodate. And his associates, fearing for him, you know, in transcendental anxiety, they went running after him, because when he entered his mad mood, he could do anything. He could throw himself in the ocean. So they were very concerned. So he was running as swiftly as the wind, and they were chasing after him, but they couldn't catch up to him. But then eventually,
they found him exhibiting these extreme ecstatic symptoms of his limbs being elongated and eruptions on his body. They're like really concerned that his body was going through such severe transformations. So they wanted to bring him back to external consciousness. And so they began chanting Hari Bol, chanting the holy names. And eventually, he did come to partial external consciousness. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that there are three types of consciousness, or three stages of consciousness. One is called Antardasha, that means internal consciousness. Then the other is Bhayadasha, that means external consciousness. And then Ardabhayadasha, which means partial external consciousness. So when the devotees made the tumultuous sounds of the holy names, Lord Chaitanya came into Ardabhayadasha, partial external consciousness. And he said, "Why did you bring me here? I was at Govardhan Hill, and Radha and Krishna entered into a cave. And some of the gopis asked me to collect flowers for them. And I was collecting flowers. And now you have made this tumultuous sound, and you brought me here. You know, where are Radha and Krishna? Where are the gopis? Where is Govardhan Hill?" And he was feeling intense separation. Now, in ordinary consciousness, Lord Chaitanya would not have spoken like that. I mean, devotees don't speak like that. And then he did come to external consciousness, and he saw sort of Damodar Goswami and even superiors like Paramananda Puri, and then he became ashamed for speaking the way he had spoken. So in the material world, seeing Krishna can be in that way. You get a glimpse. And that's why the mood of separation is so prominent in our line. You get a glimpse, and then when you lose that, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Radharani, like the six Goswamis? Hey Rod, hey Vrajadevi, K Chalalite, hey Nanda Sunoguta. Hey Rod, hey O Radharani, Vrajadevi, K Queen of Vrindavan, Nanda Suno, son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Yamuna? Or are you at Govardhan Hill? Where are you? And they would wander all over Vrindavan loudly shouting, looking for Radha and Krishna. So that is the mood of separation. That is the mood that we want to cultivate. And we can experience it in our own ways here. Like it happens, we're looking at the deities, they're so beautiful, we're having such nice thoughts and moods. And then the pujari comes to close the curtains. No, not now, not now. And then it gradually, oh no, want to get see just till the last moment, and then they're closing. Oh, separation. So we can feel all those things even now, and as we become more purified and the feelings become more intensified, then we are eligible to enter the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. And that is our goal, but it is also our goal, very much our goal, to bring others to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada discussed this point in Los Angeles, that what is the difference between the temple and ordinary houses? Temples also made of, you know, bricks and stone and cement, and an ordinary house is made of bricks and stones and cement. What is the difference? The difference is that in the temple, Krishna is in the center. And he said he would walk down the street and he would see all those houses, ordinary houses. And he would think that one day they should all have deities. And as he walks down the street, he will hear the ding-a-ling of the bells and the sounds of kirtan. And he said, otherwise, they're not happy. And he said, otherwise, why do they have signs on their houses for sale? It means they're not happy. They think if they move to another place, they'll become happy. But right now, they're not happy, so for sale. So that's also very much the mood of a devotee, the mood of Radharani, the mood of Krishna, Balaram, and that is compassion to bring others to Krishna, to the spiritual world. That is also keeping Krishna in the center of everything. I mean, yes, everything is Krishna's energy, so it should be used in his service. And especially the living entities, they are Krishna's energy, and they are meant to be engaged in his service. And if we take up that work on behalf of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, they are very, very pleased. So I will conclude with one little story there's one or maybe two, but so one of Prabhupada's early devotees, prominent devotee, was Bhavananda. And at Bhavananda's initiation, Srila Prabhupada, you know, your name is Bhavananda. Bhavananda means the bliss of the material world. There are two words, bhava, that means like ecstasy, and bhava, it means like the repetition of birth and death. You can only preach and bring them to Krishna when you're in the material world. So he said, Bhavananda means the bliss of the material world is the bliss of preaching, the bliss of giving Krishna pleasure, but not just any pleasure, but the greatest pleasure. And by giving Krishna the greatest pleasure, the devotee experiences the greatest pleasure. So this is a special opportunity that we have, to give Krishna the greatest pleasure. And I was very glad to hear these reports about book distribution and the prison ministry. It's like we're in the prison. I mean, they're all prisoners. Our whole movement is like the prison ministry. That's like the prison within the prison, but the whole movement is the prison ministry. So yeah, we should go out to the prisoners and give them an idea of how they can be happy even in the prison, and ultimately how they can get out. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes.
I'm trying to think how to phrase this, but everyone appreciates the deities, and Alachua is very, very famous also for their deity worship, and people watch this online. But the description of a neophyte devotee is that they see Krishna in the deities, but that's their qualification for worshiping Krishna, for being a devotee of Krishna. The Madhyamadhikari sees Krishna, makes friends with the devotees, avoids the demoniac, and helps the innocent, helps those in a lower position. So when I joined the movement in the early days under Srila Prabhupada, we seemed to have some kind of etiquette system that if somebody joined the movement a few months before us, they were our senior godbrother, and we, respected them. And devotees would offer formal respect to each other. They still do that after Mangal Arati. They do the Vanchakalpataru. We would respect the temple authorities and, the leaders of the movement and various things. But now this may just be to my vision, but it seems that there's not so much etiquette these days, not so much understanding how to respect. I'm probably one of the most disrespectful devotees, so please forgive me for all my offenses. But how do we reinstitute this system? Because since we're all basically neophytes, without this etiquette, it becomes chaotic, and everyone starts fighting and disagreeing with each other, and devotees have various philosophical points of views about things. But if there's a level of respect, we can all cooperate. But if there's no respect, then there's a lot of discord and breaking apart of things. So can you make any comment on that?
The essence, you could say, the essence of Vaishnava etiquette is, chinadapi suniche natararapi sihishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So if we have that mood, then we will be following proper etiquette, and there will be no conflict, like you're saying. I mean, there may be differences of opinion, even in the spiritual world, their differences of opinion on how to please Krishna best. So that's there and that's allowed. But there should be no disruption in the relations. There should be no disturbance to the service. But there can be differences of opinion. But someone is ultimately the authority, and we accept whatever the authority decides. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that, because that was a question even during Prabhupada's time, you know, about how do we see the authorities and accept the decisions of the authorities. And he gave the example that, you know, someone is driving the car and you're in the car and you're trying to get to a certain place. And so you tell the authority, means the driver, I think we should go this way. You know, it'll be a better way to reach the place we want to get. So you can present your point of view to the authority. But then ultimately, the authority decides. And as Prabhupada said, you know, he's in the driver's seat, so he ultimately decides. And then the disciple asks, well, how do we see the authority's decision? Do we have to, like, agree with it? Or, you know, isn't it offensive if we disagree with it? And he said, no, within yourself, you can still harbor the belief that the way you suggested he drive the car would have been a better way to reach the goal, but still, you know, as a matter of discipline, he's the driver, so you just go along the way he says, and the goal is the same. But there may be a difference of opinion on the best way to reach the goal. So,
what about the general etiquette amongst the devotees? Because if things are harmonious, then people will be easily attracted towards the movement. But if everyone is set, because there's a lot of impersonalism with the advance of technology, it's also affecting us. But if we're not in accord with each other, then people won't be so attracted.
That's true. Sankirtan. Yeah, because it's true, if we're devotees with devotees all the time, we might take them for granted. But if we go out and, you know, spend time with other people and see the way they live and hear the way they speak and find out the way they think, then we can appreciate the association of devotees more. I mean, part of that atmosphere in the early days when Srila Prabhupada was here, and there was generally a very nice family spirit, his devotees would be out all day long. You know, they every ounce of their energy and meeting the conditioned souls. And then when they came back at night, it was like coming home. Oh, we get to be with the devotees again. And it's like coming home after a hard day's work and you get to be with your family. Yes.
My name is Tivipuram Brahma. I used to sit in my seat, I mean, by your mercy, on the life membership office in Mayapur during Gaur Purnima, and he told us many stories every year.
I remember.
Thank you. You are one of the biggest collector in ISKCON, that, because I don't know if you remember Arjun Wani.
I do remember Arjun Wani.
Oh. He owns 10% of Sears in America.
Really?
Yes. And I talked to him once in a while, and till today in San Diego, he lives in San Diego, and Badrinarayan Prabhu, nobody could collect. But he always tell me, I gave 25,000 rupees to Giriraj Swami in 70s, because I'm attracted by him. As soon as I see him, my check immediately I wrote. I was like, very sorry. 25,000 rupees was a lot of money in those days.
It was. It was.
But you have a something in your face, Maharaj, that he always tells me this, that you are very attractive. So I had a question, Maharaj. End of this chapter, Srila Parikshit Maharaj asked, what an unprecedented fact that all these millions of mothers, that they draw their pleasure not from their own child, but from other son, Nanda Maharaj's son. So in reply, Sukhdev Goswami Pad, you have given very nice class. In reply, he says that self-centeredness, self-preservation is the first thing to love self. Then it progresses to the Paramatma, then to Bhagavan. Then it self. Now you are saying that Krishna-centered, we have to give up the self.
It's okay.
So you are saying that we have to give up the self, and then the Krishna has to be the center. So my question in the beginning, is it really like the self-motivation has to be for the self-fulfillment in loving service? Or, I mean, I don't have experience of selfless or self-forgetful of the Brajavasi, but there has to be some self-centeredness, no? Maybe misidentification of the self with the body has to be given up, but the self is still be the center to serve.
Yeah. This conclusion is very relevant to the topic, and it's the same idea that a house, what is the attractive feature of the house? It's the people. I mean, in a temple, it's the deities and the devotees. If the same building was here minus Krishna and the devotees, no one would come. So the attraction is the person. So the analysis at the end of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the residents of Vrindavan, as you said, loved Krishna more than their own children, which is unusual. And why? So generally, you know, people love their bodies most. And then they love the expansions of their bodies, you know, like their children. Because their children, the extensions of their body, give pleasure to their self in the bodily concept of life. But the real attraction is the soul, not the body. It's just an illusion that we're attracted to the body. Because the same thing, when the soul leaves the body, we're not attracted. We love our children, we hug them and kiss them and, you know, feed them and serve them as long as the soul is there. As soon as the soul is gone, then we dispose of the body. So the real attraction is the soul. And then why is the soul attractive? Because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, who is the supreme soul. And therefore Krishna is the supreme attractive. And he is the supreme lovable object. More than the body, more than, you know, our family members' bodies, more than secondary expansions, you know, like the house and the car and the bank balance. So that is the conclusion, that, okay, we think we're enamored of the bodies, but it's really the soul. As soon as the soul is gone, no interest in the body. And that soul is just a part and parcel of Krishna. So he's the most attractive and the most lovable. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I'll be going to a Krishna lunch in Gainesville, my first time. And then in the evening, I'll